Welcome to ACB Radio's Main Menu Live. Opinions expressed during the show do not reflect the views of ACB Radio or the American Council of the Blind, its members, employees, or board of directors. If you would like to participate in the live show at 2 hours Universal on Wednesdays, please call toll-free 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Main Menu Live this week. This week, we have 2 hours all about the just recently released Window Eyes Public Beta 1 for Window Eyes 7.0. Before we hear all about that, we're going to first hear from Jamie Pauls from Access Watch, and then we'll introduce our vast panel of experts tonight to talk to all of you about Window Eyes 7.0 Public Beta 1. So here's Jamie Pauls all about Nod 32.
Hi, this is Jamie Pauls with another Access Watch review. About a year and a half ago, I reviewed Nod 32, an antivirus program recommended by GW Micro. In fact, you can purchase the product from gwmicro.com. I found version 2 of Nod 32 to be quite accessible and also quite adequate for my needs. Version 3 of the product sports some user interface changes, but a press of the F5 key opens up a tree view of items that you can move through with up and down arrow and tab keys. If you prefer, you can simply use Window Eyes mouse movement commands to explore the program and perform most, if not all, needed functions. I have most recently been playing with ESET's Smart Security product, which is also quite accessible and very adequate for my needs. ESET's website features a podcast full of tips and tricks to keep your computer more secure. Learn about all of ESET's products at www.eset.com. You can also visit www.nod32.com or, as stated earlier, link to the product from GW Micro's website. Come visit AccessWatch at www.accesswatch.info. Visit our blog at www.accesswatch.blogspot.com or subscribe to our blog at feeds.feedburner.com/accesswatch. Have a great week.
Thank you, Jamie, very much. And without further ado, let's bring in Daryl Shandro here, my co-host tonight. Hello, Daryl. Hello, Daryl. Very interesting. Why is Daryl not hearing me?
Sorry about that, everyone. I was I muted myself as I said I would, and I had trouble getting back.
Oh, okay. I'm like, Daryl, where are you?
Okay, I'm here. Hello, everybody, welcome to our live panel of experts on Window Eyes 7.0. Very exciting stuff. I've quick testimonial, I've spent all day in 7.0 beta number 1 on my day job, and I'm quite happy thus far.
Well, that's great. And tonight we're using a new conferencing system, so if there's a couple of glitches, you'll kind of know why. We actually needed to do this to ensure that we got the highest quality that we can out of the stream tonight. As you can be able to tell in just a minute, we have 10 people joining us tonight on the call. So that's quite a bit more than we generally have. And so we are using a service called High Speed Conference. And it's quite good, actually. So if you're interested in stuff like that, then definitely give that a look. Well, Daryl, you want to give them the contact information, how to get a hold of us tonight? And I will tell you that the phone lines are currently not open. We'll let you know when you can call in.
I sure will do that. So first of all, I'll be doing some tweeting a little bit later on Twitter. So you can reach that. You can check out twitter.com/mainmenu. That's twitter.com/mainmenu. You can send us an email to mainmenu@acbradio.org. Once again, that's mainmenu@acbradio.org. Or you may add the same to your MSN Windows Live Messenger contact list. mainmenu@acbradio.org. Finally, you may call us when the lines do open. That telephone number will be 866 866-400-5333. Once again, 866-400-5333.
Excellent. Thank you, Daryl. All right, let's go ahead and introduce our panel tonight. We'll first start with the two people that we have here tonight from GW Micro, Doug and Aaron. Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good. Doing great, Jeff. Good to be back.
Thank you very much. And now, you guys were here before to talk about WindowEyes version 7, and but now it's actually out, so we wanted to definitely get you back to talk all about it. We'll get back to you two in just a couple of minutes. Now, there's a number of other people here, and just because I don't have, I actually don't have a card right here in front of me, but what I'd like to do is have them go around and introduce themselves. We'll start with Jamal Mazrui. Go ahead, sir.
I'm Jamal Mazrui, calling from Silver Spring, Maryland.
Oh, welcome. And Chris Grabowski.
Chris Grabowski, calling from Buffalo, New York.
Excellent. Okay. And Steve?
Hi, Stephen Clower, calling from Denton, Texas.
Okay. And let's see, Rick.
Yeah, Rick Alfaro, calling from Davie, Florida.
Oh, Florida. So you must be getting heat too, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. And humidity.
Gotta love that. Yeah, indeed. Okay. All right. And let's see. We have two more people here. They are here, right? Daryl?
Yes. I'm here. I'm Robert Carter from College Station, Texas, and I'm sitting outside enjoying the beautiful Texas weather today.
Very good, Robert. Okay, and we have one more person. Okay, I don't
think... Chris Grabowski. I don't think J.J. Medaw is not here
yet. I don't think
yet.
J.J. made it, did he?
No.
Okay, well, if anyone sees him on IM, ping him. I wasn't sure. I've been handling stuff over here on the board, so I wasn't sure if he made it in or not. Okay, great. Now, the people that you just heard the voices from are beta testers for GW Micro, and some of them are scripters, and some of them are just general users, or not just, because they've been what made... some of us who've been writing scripts actually make them work and get them tested and refined. So without them, you wouldn't have the things that are up on Script Central. So, well, what I'd like to do first is give GW Micro an opportunity to first, for those people who were not here before, give them an opportunity to talk a little bit about what WindowEyes 7.0 has to offer from kind of a 30,000-foot level. And then we'll kind of take it from there. So why don't I pass the baton over to Doug and let him start things off.
All right. So as you said, we talked last time. I think it was definitely sometime in the winter because I know I got snowed in and couldn't go to the office for the call. But so I won't. A lot of what we talked about is still there. So I'm just going to, as you said, kind of do it at 35,000 feet and just kind of go over some of these features really quick. And then probably spend the majority of the time talking about the scripting functionality, which is obviously the biggest feature that we've added to 7.0. So some of the other features that we had talked about before are improved our web access. We now have place markers, for instance, and these place markers are actually very smart. You can actually go search the entire page for the text that you had specifically set up for it. So even though your page may be changing, dynamically changing and things, it can still take you directly to those places as long as the text itself remains consistent that you're searching for. But even that, you can get a little bit sophisticated on the, how you're searching for the text and things. Then also we enhanced our control search to be able to search for certain controls. We've been hearing from users that they want to be able to say, take me to the 10th button or take me to the third unchecked checkbox or whatever. And so now we've given you those that ability through some more browse mode commands that you can very easily just navigate, as I said, to an unchecked checkbox or a checked box or any the next checkbox in general, whether it's checked or not, that type of navigation. And then also in our page navigation or insert tab, we've given you the ability to list all of the controls on the current web page with their field name, so you can just very quickly see all the controls that are on the page and jump to it. So I can do insert tab, press the hotkey to bring up the controls, it defaults to links on the web page, and then type in something like first to get first name, hit enter, and boom, I'm on the edit box for first name. So it makes navigating pages that have a lot of controls very, very fast, especially pages that you're using a lot over and over and over. So those are kind of the web enhancements, things like that. And we'd mentioned that we're aware of ARIA and the Web 2.0 and all of that business, and we would definitely want to be attacking that. So that's kind of one of the next big things that we're going to be dealing with. But this is what we did with the web with 7.0. Some other features that we added that I didn't actually talk about last time because we weren't sure if we were going to sneak that in or not is Eloquence version 6.1, the ECI version of that versus the SAPI version of that. We have been shipping Eloquence 5.0 SAPI for, I don't know how many years, many, many years with WindowEyes, and it's been a very popular product, but I don't know who it was that owned Eloquence at the time, upgraded it to 6.1. Nuance owns it now. It might have been Speechworks or somebody, but they upgraded it to 6.1. Some of the enhancements that they gave to it are it's much more responsive. It seems to be much faster as far as starting and stopping, and its high-end speech rate is much, much faster than the other speech rate. And we've seen some of the other products out there in the blindness community are shipping this newer version, and we found that 6.1 didn't get along so well with the Eloquence 5.0. So people were having a problem. They have to uninstall one or the other. And so now that we're shipping 6.1 as well, you can get rid of the Eloquence 5.0 that WindowEyes did ship and just use the 6.1. And as a matter of fact, you probably do want to do that unless you know exactly what you're doing, because you can't be using both Eloquence 5.0 and our new Eloquence 6.1 in the same session of WindowEyes, or there'll be some problems. And again, that's just an Eloquence compatibility issue that they unfortunately didn't iron out when they came out with their newer version. But so far, the response on the new Eloquence from our beta users, as you know, we just released public beta 1 today. I don't know what time it was, maybe around 2 o'clock Eastern time we released that, and we've already had several hundred downloads of that and gotten a lot of feedback on our GW Info list, and one of the top things that people are liking, aside from scripting, is the new Eloquence that we're shipping with that.
Doug, one of the cool features of the new Eloquence is that you can actually switch the sound card, right?
Right. That was also a limitation of SAPI. SAPI 4 did not allow you to specify a sound card. SAPI 5 does, but SAPI 4 didn't. And so now with the new ECI Eloquence, absolutely, we now give you a combo box. It will enumerate through all of the sound card devices that you have installed on your system, or just the default, whatever you have set up as a default, and you can then specify. So a lot of people have been wanting to be able to have their Eloquence come out of one sound card and maybe all their other audio coming out of another. So right, that is another cool feature of that. Moving on, some other features that we added, or enhancements rather, as far as the SysTray, we've always had the ability to go down when you hit Insert S to be able to scan what's currently in your SysTray. You can also use the Windows operating system to go there, but we found that people just like hitting our hotkey to very quickly go down and find out what's in that SysTray. It was always a little slow in the past because we'd actually take the mouse down and wait for the tooltip to come up, and we'd collect all those tooltips and then put it in a nice list box for you to select. Well, now we're actually using MSAA to go down, so we don't have to wait for a tooltip. We just use MSAA to go down, blast, and get it. And the nice thing is that we've also worked on, especially under Vista, where they can collapse that SysTray down there. We can actually get all the data correctly, even though it may be collapsed. And if you select an item that's currently collapsed, we'll expand the SysTray and automatically launch that item for you. So basically, it just works beautifully now, whether it's collapsed or not, whether you're selecting an item that's in the collapsed region or not, it just works and is lightning fast. So that's kind of cool. I saw some comments already on GW Info, people liking this speed increase of that. We also, as I mentioned before, have Unicode support now, so WindowEyes is now 100% Unicode, which allows us to work with just about any language out there right now. So you can read these documents that maybe WindowEyes 6.1 had issues with because it didn't know how to handle that, the Unicode character sets. As long as you've got a synthesizer that supports the language that you're trying to read, WindowEyes will just pass it on and work beautifully. So we're going to start seeing some benefits of Unicode come on as we start supporting more and more languages and doing some other cool things that we're still working on right now. We also enhanced our read-to-end feature, which is the ability to just sit back and listen to a document all the way from top to bottom, where we'll automatically scroll the document down. We've always had that feature, well, for a very long time anyway. But we've in the past, with 6.1, to stop the read-to-end, you would hit the escape key. That was the only way to really stop a read-to-end. Well, that was confusing to a lot of people because people thought they could hit the control key or other keys to stop it, and it would silence it, but it would continue on scrolling, and we thought that was a feature, but it became obvious that it was very confusing to users. So now any key will interrupt the read-to-end feature. So that, I think that brings back what people were expecting. And then we also added the ability to increase and decrease the rate of speech as you're doing a read-to-end. You can always rewind and fast-forward. That's been there a while as well. But so those are a couple enhancements to read-to-end. We have added a couple more word mode features. We've always had the ability of typing in word mode, meaning as you're typing, you don't hear each character. You only hear the word when you hit space or something like that to go on. We added a couple more abilities of not only hearing the word, but you could also hear the characters and the words or have interruptibility on or off while you're doing all these. So there's all sorts of combinations now as you're typing with characters, words, both, interruptibility on, off, all of that business. I think we've rounded all of that out now of all possible ways that you'd want to be able to enter from the keyboard. We also enhanced our error reporting to, which again, the error reporting has just been tremendous in allowing us to keep WindowEyes as stable as it is and continue to keep it stable. So that's just one of the best features I think that we've ever added to WindowEyes, and we continue to rely on that heavily. But we've added more functionality to help us even on some of the tougher problems that might be existing out there to give us more feedback. But in doing so, we've made this the information that we received such a large file, it was taking a long time to send the report to GW Micro. Well, we've now increased that to where we've made it much, much faster to send those reports, even though they may be rather large, assuming you have a high-speed connection anyway. But the speed now that you can send those reports is amazing, and again, it just helps us so much to keep WindowEyes as stable as it is. We've added Firefox 3 support, so we know Firefox 3 is you know, it's been out there for a while in beta and things like that. We want to make sure that we support it when it comes out. We had to do some changes to it. We worked with the Mozilla team to make sure that they've resolved some issues on their side that kind of kept us from working and things like that. So that's always an ever-going process that we're dealing with. So then one of the things that you really need to do is go through our README file. So if you go to gwmicro.com, there's a link right at the top that allows you to go right to the beta of WindowEyes. So you can go to gwmicro.com/beta to go there directly. There's a link that points to the 7.0 beta 1 README, and it's huge. You can ask Aaron. Poor guy had to write the thing. But it goes through all of the new functionality that you have and just a tremendous amount of bugs and things that we've resolved over the period since 6.1 was actually released, and it goes on forever. So that goes on in tremendous detail, but these are some of the highlights other than scripting that we're definitely going to be spending a lot of time on. So is that a good 75,000 feet?
That's great, Doug. That's great. And I wanted to give our beta testers an opportunity, especially those of you who are users, although I'm not restricting it to those that are not, because the scripters can obviously give us some feedback when we get to scripting. But I wanted to give you guys an opportunity to talk a little bit about the features that Doug has mentioned so far and kind of give any feedback that you'd like to do on about them. Rick, you want to...
I have a question.
Okay. Hold on 1 second, Jamal. Rick, you want to start, or do you have any comments about that?
Sure, yeah. Regarding, for example, the at least I can highlight some of my favorite things. Anyways, for example, the markers that are available now in browse mode are fantastic because they're, you know, it's what makes them unique is that each marker has its own search capability. So it's, you know, it's really unlimited as to what you know how you can use them. They're so much more flexible. That's by far, at least in the browse mode enhancement, that's my favorite. Then, of course, the scripting. I mean, we can talk another couple hours about that.
Yeah, and we'll get to that. We'll talk about, you know, your favorite scripts, and we'll get some of the script authors to rant and rave about their scripts and all that kind of fun stuff, because they've worked hard on them.
Jeff, this is Robert. I wanted to comment briefly on the ability that the beta 7 has that allows one to access the different controls on a web page, and Doug mentioned it a little bit. I had the pleasure of using 6.1 on my wife's computer the other day, and I didn't have all these fabulous ability to jump straight to an edit box or the ability to jump to a checkbox. And so this is a really exciting enhancement to be able to go straight to whatever control you want to go to on a page. And I think if people will just take a little time and start using that N key to start the process and then use whatever key that you need to use to jump to a specific type of control, you'll find it really nice. And I'm pretty excited about that feature.
Yeah, well, it's great for call center environments as well. I mean, being able to allow them to be a lot more productive and getting around, especially as these call centers are now the majority of them, or at least a lot of them now, are using web-based applications to do all of their support. So, yeah, you're right on there, Robert.
And this is Chris. I just
also, if I could,
Oh yeah, let Chris go
ahead. I just wanted
first.
To add.
Hold on 1 second, Rick. Go ahead, Chris.
Yep. Yeah, I just wanted to mention the system tray feature. I use that a lot in my daily work routines just to get in and out of my voicemail for work. So just having the speed of that has made my job much easier.
Excellent. Okay, Rick, you had another comment?
Yeah, just an additional comment to Robert, to what Robert already said about the ability to find controls on the page. The what's nice about that as well is that you can actually specify, like if you know it's a third edit box on the page or the fourth button, you can do that very easily and go right to the very specific control that you want to get to.
Yeah, you know,
which I think is terrific.
Yeah, Daryl and I were talking about that earlier, and he was commenting that that's really going to be helpful for him on his knowledge base work. So, now Jamal,
also,
you
portable.
Yes, Eloquence is portable. Yes, that's a very key thing. You know that's really going to be nice to have that as well. Now, Jamal, you had a question?
Yes, I read somewhere that Firefox 3 is officially released now. Is that correct? And the follow-up question, whether it's official or still a late beta, to GW Micro, how would you compare the browser support using WindowEyes with Firefox and Internet Explorer? I've hardly used Firefox. What are the pros and cons?
Okay. Well, I can tell you that Firefox is officially released. And why don't we let Aaron take that one? You want to talk about that, Aaron?
I'd be happy to. One of the big reasons people use Firefox over IE is just because it's an alternative. It's something different to use. The Mozilla Foundation claims that Firefox is more secure, it's more stable. They come out with updates and the security patches and things like that quicker than Microsoft does. So it's really just an alternative browser. One of the biggest things that makes Firefox so popular is the ability to install add-ons. So you can really customize your browser to do a huge number of things. It's kind of like scripting to WindowEyes. You can really make the browser do pretty much anything that you want it to do. So that's one of the reasons that Firefox is so popular. WindowEyes works great with Firefox. There are some differences between the two browsers. Firefox 3, it works. WindowEyes 7 Beta 1 works well with Firefox 3. There are some issues that Mozilla still has to resolve on their end. They've told us that they're dedicated to getting those out in the next .1 release, not necessarily the next immediate release, but the next big release they come out with. And we still have a couple of things to do on our end to finalize the compatibility between the two. But they're working well. We've had a couple of comments on the info list so far of people using Firefox 3 with the new beta, and they're very pleased. So Firefox 3 offers quite a few new things over Firefox 2 that if you're a Firefox user, you'll enjoy the new enhancements of 3. So I definitely think it's worth taking a look at.
Aaron, do you know, just from a question from a scripting perspective, and since I have you here, I'll ask, does Firefox have the rich object model that IE has to be able to interrogate the data out of Firefox?
They do, but it's not in a way that we've been able to get access to yet. So the browse mode object that you can get that you get through WindowEyes scripting only works with IE right now, but that's something that we hope to be able to expose later on.
Great.
Part of the problem that we have with that, with Firefox, and we've talked directly to them because we want to be able to get directly into the DOM like we can with IE right now with scripting, is that they do not expose their DOM through COM automation. And, of course, our scripting relies on COM automation. So we may try to do some trickery around it or may try to work them into getting COM automation, but that's the main reason that it's not working today.
Yeah, I figured as much that it was not exposed to you. So, okay, before we move on to scripting, and don't worry, everyone, we will be opening up the phone lines. First of all, Daryl, do we have any questions or anything from MSN land that's not scripting related?
Yes, we do. Let's see. Ming wants to know, is the Windows 7.0 beta working with Skype 4.0 beta yet?
Actually, the scripts that we have for Skype, I fired those up with beta 4 a couple of days ago, and with a one-line change, I was able to get everything that was working with the version 3 of the scripts to work with version 4. So I haven't spent a lot of time playing with it, but just from an initial glance, it took very little work to open it right up and start playing with it. So as the Skype beta goes on, the scripts will also go along with that, and so far it looks good.
Of course, that's not going to address some of the hotkey issues and such that people are reporting, correct?
No, there's Skype right. 4.0 beta issues that are independent of any screen reader at this point.
Yeah, so I would say that unless you really understand that, you know, since you can't have Skype 3.8 and 4.0 in the same system, unless you really understand what your limitations will be, you probably don't want to do it, not just yet until they get a little further along in the 4.0 beta cycle.
Yeah, it's a pretty radical departure from what they have had in the past, so it's definitely something you want to stay away from at the moment, at least in my opinion. All right, any other questions, Daryl?
Well, okay, so, things are kind of busy.
Why don't we come back to you? You can get those lined up.
I've got one that I want to answer from the email that's not scripting related.
Okay, go right ahead.
Or at least not directly.
Okay.
Beth wants to know what type of plans there are to handle voice recognition, such as Dragon Naturally Speaking or the system that's provided in Vista using Windows 7. Are there anybody aware of any plans in that area yet?
GW?
I was going to ask that. I missed the first part of the question. Can you repeat it again?
The speech recognition software like Dragon Vista, the facilities in Vista.
We've played halfway on through the private beta cycle. We sat down with Vista speech recognition. We're all excited because Microsoft talked about how much MSA was used in it. And the more we delved into it, the more we realized that it wasn't built the way we would have liked it to be built. A lot of the MSA stuff, you really have to go digging and you really have to go drilling to find out all kinds of information, and it's just not very it's not very intuitive and it's not very clear on what you need to do. That being said, Windows scripting does give you the power to do all that, so it really just takes a matter of time to sit down and go through all the different components and really find out what we need to do. I contacted them about documentation, and they quickly replied and told me there was none, so it really is just a matter of figuring out how to do it on our own. So it's definitely doable, and it's something that we want to do, but it's just going to take some time to sit down and do it is all.
I think one of the things that I'm hoping to happen as well is once we get this out in people's hands, obviously there are a lot of people that are writing scripts for other screen readers and things like that, both freeware type of devices or selling them scripts for resale. I'm hoping that those people will come over to WindowEyes and realize the power of it, and those people that have written scripts for Dragon or other products will be coming over and porting their scripts over to WindowEyes as well.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, and everyone needs to remember this is a pretty new feature of WindowEyes, so you know we need to make sure that people understand that other screen readers have had years and years to get other these things developed. So,
most of our time was designing the scripting ability, giving everybody the power that they need. Now we're hoping that those people will take that power and go just snowball with the scripts.
Exactly.
We have a question from Chris on MSN. He wants to know, so what about Unicode? What is the big deal? Why is that important? Why do we care about Unicode support?
Well, if you're just reading English documents, you probably don't care. But if you are somebody who's multilingual or have Asian languages you wish to deal with, things like that, more complicated languages than just maybe European languages, then it becomes very important to be able to do it. So it really depends on what you're wanting to read.
Okay. While we're on the topic of applications, Scott Rakowski wanted to know about iTunes. And I noticed that iTunes scripts appeared on Script Central. And Aaron, you want to talk about that?
It was kind of funny because I opened up iTunes today. I hadn't put the scripts up on Script Central yet because iTunes was, I think the very first script I ever sat down to actually write with WindowEyes when scripting first began. So the things that I had to do, the hoops I had to jump through to get it to work were pretty amusing to look back on. When I see how much WindowEyes has evolved, I can do very simple things now to do things in iTunes. So I put the scripts up as they were when I first began writing them, but they're going to be overhauled. They're going to go through a lot of changes, I can tell. But it's exciting because, like I said, the way WindowEyes has evolved, it's going to make doing it a lot easier now, I think, than when I first started doing it. So they're up there now, but they're very basic. They're very infantile, but they will be growing.
Are there specific areas that you've looked at within iTunes that you expect to be able to provide support for, Aaron?
Well, everything that I said worked when I first created them still works. So whether you're creating playlists or browsing through the store or doing all those kinds of things. They still function. It's just that the only reason that I stopped developing those scripts is because we started doing so many more other things, and other things gained more importance than doing iTunes scripts. And it wasn't that I ran into technical difficulties. It's just, you know, we had to do other things. So now that we have a public beta out, now that we want to give people some time to sit down and play with everything, that's going to give me a little bit of a breather to go back and look at some of these earlier scripts and get them updated to work with all the latest cool stuff that WinOS has.
Okay, great. Well, let's now turn our attention over to scripting, and let's go ahead and hand it back to Doug and have him do again kind of a brief review of what scripting is, and then maybe, Doug, you can hand it off to Aaron to talk a little bit about Script Central, his baby.
That's right. Well, scripting, I think a lot of people have heard the terminology before in many other cases and things like that, but scripting is becoming very popular with a lot of applications. We talked about Firefox, the add-ins that you can basically enhance Firefox, and the scripting abilities that we've added to WindowEyes are just ways that you can enhance WindowEyes. WindowEyes has all the power to work with all these applications out there. It's just that it doesn't necessarily know what it needs to do. Every app is unique in itself. And so we've given you set file configurations and things like that can get you, you know, maybe 80-90% of the way there, but some applications are so poorly written, maybe they have no keyboard accessibility, things like that, that you basically need to drive the application. You need to kind of change the UI on the application or add some user interface to the application, and you can now do that with scripting. So whether you're the scripting not only allows you to pull the functionality out of WindowEyes itself, all the power and the functions that WindowEyes has, but it also allows you to talk directly to applications and maybe query information from the app and things like that, and then provide that to WindowEyes. So it basically is just an enhancement to what WindowEyes could already do, but in a programmatic form that can be launched automatically. It's invisible to the user that's actually using it. WindowEyes takes care of all of the dirty, gory details about starting scripts and getting them going when they need to be and handling all the interface and all of that business. So once the script author has that done and packaged up, it just works. So that's kind of what scripting is. And as I'd mentioned before, we didn't want to just pick one language that users could use, and we certainly didn't want to pick a proprietary language within WindowEyes. There are many, many good languages out there, and COM automation or scripting languages that support COM automation are kind of the industry standard. Again, whether you're using Firefox or whatever, you just use COM automation to communicate to these applications. That's industry standard, and that's the approach that we want to do, and by doing that, any of these languages that support that will work. So we still support VB, you know, full VB if you want, C++ if you want. VBScript is where we've spent most of our time with all the scripts that GW Micro has written. We kind of standardized on VBScript just because it's free and available on everybody's computer system already. So you can automatically run a VBScript even without WindowEyes. You can launch a VBScript. But we kind of, again, went a little bit further than that. We said, well, it's one thing to just be able to run these scripts. We want to be able to host these scripting environments within WindowEyes, which gives us more control, gives us ways that we can communicate to these scripts a little bit better than if we were just launching the script externally as another process and dealing with that. And we can do that. So for those scripting languages that cannot be hosted by WindowEyes, we just launch it in its own process and it works, which, again, allows you to use C++ or VB or all of those businesses. But the bottom line of all this talk is that you can pretty much pick your language. So the beauty of that is pretty much any programmer out there is going to be able to have a language that's going to work with WindowEyes. They don't have to sit down, learn a new proprietary language, which may be buggy, maybe not. It's just going to work. So I think we're going to see so many more scripts being written than we see with other products out there simply because the languages that you can choose from are just enormous. And also, you can combine these languages. So one of the things that we'll get into is we provided a toolkit of cool features that a script author can use, but they're just built in a VBScript. Aaron has actually produced GW Toolkit, which is a collection of utilities that allow a script to do things, and we provide them mainly for ease of use for the script author, but also for consistency between scripts, so the ability to offer script updates, so you can go off to the web and see if your script has been updated. We wanted a consistent interface to that, so we provided that very simple interface into GW Toolkit, and it's all VBScript. But if I happen to run a write VB, if I want to write JScript or whatever, I can do that and still communicate to our VBScript toolkit in the same manner that anybody else would. So the even though you have multiple languages going on, the script author doesn't really even know that that's happening, if whatever language they're using and they call into our toolkit. So that's kind of a cool functionality that, that allows you to do that. So all of this stuff, I think, just adds to the power and the flexibility that you're out, that you can use. And of course, in order to get all of this stuff working, it's one thing to say you have scripting and rely on users manually trying to install the scripts and these things, or how do you make sure that you have the latest script, or where do you go get scripts and things like that. So we wanted to kind of make that seamless for the users. So we've added user interface into WindowEyes that makes it very easy for you to, one, see all the scripts that you're running, because a script is an independent entity, basically. So when I run a script, whether it be a global script, which means it's running all the time, or a script that's associated to an application, which means it only runs when that application is running, I want to be able to see at any one time what scripts are currently running. I want to be able to stop any one of these individual scripts that I have. I may want to restart any one of these scripts. I may want to just disassociate that script so it never launches again automatically or whatever. So we've given you that ability, kind of like with your operating system, you have Task Manager. And so we've given you Script Manager, which allows you to be able to manipulate all of those scripts that are out there. Then we also gave you the ability of, again, that allows you to see what's running, but how do you get these guys running? You don't want to have to block copy these things into some monster file to have a global script running. We want you to be able to easily get these scripts running. So what we did was we created a package manager that allows a script author to take all of his scripts and or sets and or XML files or whatever, to be able to take all of the things that make up their script or their configuration, I should say, for an application, because, again, it doesn't all have to be just scripting. And they can run it through our package manager, which will take all those files. They can set up how the associations are made and all of this kind of good stuff. They can give us licensing information. They give us version information, all this stuff in the package. Very clean interface. And then it creates a file with a .wepm extension, so which is kind of a WindowEyes package management extension that we created. That creates one single file for the user that they can then pass around. Those are the files that if you go to Script Central, our webpage, you can download. It's just a single file. Those files are automatically associated to WindowEyes on your system. So if you're using Internet Explorer and you just say open, it will immediately tell WindowEyes that this is your file, here it is, and WindowEyes will open up its install dialog, just like add remove on your operating system, allow you to install that script. And, or, again, if you're just using Windows Explorer and you click on or hit enter on a .wepm file, it'll automatically tell WindowEyes. If WindowEyes isn't running, it'll launch WindowEyes and go right to the install dialog so that you can actually install it. And then you can go into the add remove dialog, and just like your operating system add remove, it will show you all the scripts that you've installed, what versions they are, what date you actually installed them on. So it may, again, makes it very clean to be able to see what's all there. You can easily hit Alt-R to remove or tab to the remove button, and boom, that script and all of its components are removed from within WindowEyes. So it makes it very easy to be able to install and remove and see what you've got and manipulate the individual scripts. Then we've also had some questions about, again, I kind of mentioned I'm hoping that some third-party industry people will come in and start writing scripts that they've written for other products out there that they do charge a fee for, which for good reason, because it may take a lot of work to create some of these scripts that you may have to author. So they want to somehow protect their work. Now, they can easily write the script to say, if it's this serial number, only run for this WindowEyes serial number. But if it's a VB script, anybody can just look at that source code and remove that line or whatever, and it opens up to the world. So we realize that that's a concern for some people. We're definitely encouraging open source. Every script that GW Micro produces is open source. You can take it. You can do pretty much whatever you want to be able to do with that script. You see the source code. Even to our toolkit that I'm talking about, you see the source code to that. But again, for these paid scripts, we offer the ability to encrypt a script. So even though it may be a VB script that's just a text file of code that people can look at, you can run it through our encryptor, which is extremely secure, and it will automatically encrypt that and decrypt it on the fly when it's launched. So there's absolutely no way that a user can actually see your source code to that, so it gives you a good secure feeling that that's going to happen. Also, regarding security, we realized that one of the things when we talked about we have scripting and we're going to allow any programming language, of course, we start hearing all this buzz about viruses and, oh, no, GW Micro is going to be producing viruses and your system's not going to be stable, all that business. We take security very seriously. We've done a lot of things to WindowEyes to make sure that it's secure. Some of the things we've done are when you're on secure desktops, scripting shuts down. When you're at the login screen, no scripts are even launched at the login screen. When you're typing in a password edit field, scripting right now has the ability of being able to see key presses, for instance, as you're typing. If you're in a password edit box, the script does not see those key presses. Those are some simple things that we've done. But we've also gone even beyond that. And maybe you don't want to launch certain scripts. Maybe you only want to launch scripts that you trust or only scripts that may be signed by GW Micro. You can sign scripts just as you can sign applications or individual components that you might download off the web page might be signed. And you can look at that signature and see who it's signed by. And only corporations and individuals that are trusted can actually get a signature. And once they sign their application, you can be assured that that individual or that company is the one that actually produced that file. And in our cases, every script that we produce, or very soon anyway, will be signed by our certificate, so you can tell that it's a trusted GW Micro script. If somebody were to slightly modify it, change one little line of that file, that scripting, or that rather that certificate signature will be nullified, so you can tell right then and there that it's been modified, even though it may have a GW Micro certificate, it's been modified. It gives you that feeling of comfort level to know that, hey, it's no longer signed by GW Micro, therefore I'm not going to trust it. Or you can just say, I only want to trust this individual script. My friend gave me this. I only want to trust this. I don't want to trust anything else. Or I want to trust these 10 scripts or whatever. We have a security dialogue that makes it very easy for you to be able to mark the files that you do want to secure or rather trust, or maybe certificates, I can't say it, are the ones that you want to trust. So maybe I want to trust from this company, and that company, but nobody else. You can easily do that. And then also within your operating system itself has the ability of setting up saying, do not run these files or only run these files from this directory. Don't trust these files or whatever. That supersedes everything. If the operating system is configured such that it has these security protocols defined, then WindowEyes will adhere to that as well. So if it says do not run these files unless they're from this directory or whatever, WindowEyes will adhere to that as well and will mark it as not trusted and not launch unsecure scripts. By default, we trust everything. Now, we still adhere to the operating system rules, so if the operating system says don't trust this or that or whatever, we automatically adhere to that. You have to change your operating system to do that. Now, your operating system is open by default, so it will trust everything. And then WindowEyes by default is set to trust everything, but you can very easily go in and just set the individual things that you want. So I think security is something that we did take very serious, and we worked really hard to make sure that we feel that we've covered all of our bases on that. One last thing that I talked about, I could go on forever, but I want other people to talk too, is that one of the most powerful things that we've added to our scripting abilities is the custom user interface that you can design. If you look at some of the scripts that we have right now, a lot of them, almost all of them, probably have some sort of user interface, a dialogue that pops up. The scripting language that we've given you gives you the power to very easily create complex dialogues, simple dialogues, whatever. You're not limited to a dialogue with an edit box and a button or a radio button and a button. It's unlimited. You can do the dialogue you want. You can arrange the dialogue you want, make it as complicated or simple as you want. And it's done in a way that even though you're maybe not sighted, you can make it so that you have a pretty good confidence that it's going to look good. Now, there's still some issues, and our private beta testers hopefully will kick in here and talk about some of the issues they might have had being blind trying to create some of these dialogues. But we're hoping to be able to create some sort of tutorials to help people figure out the best ways to create user interface that you know is going to look good. But I think the way that we've got it based and the core functionality of it is there, that it's going to make it very easy for people to be able to design these dialogues. So I'm sure I missed a lot of things, but that is many of the new functionalities of scripting, and hopefully that'll at least get us going to where we can start talking about some of the cool things we've got.
Doug, before we pass it over to Aaron, I wanted to point out one thing that you talked about, and that is to being able to provide access to applications where keyboard access is not provided. And this is really a great example of where I actually was able to do that. In Winamp, in the auto tagger window, if you try to auto tag multiple files at once, there's this window, and it's visual. And if you tab around, then you can't tell unless you review the screen, with the mouse that what's there. Well, come to find out, there are actually static controls on there, and through the power of WindowEyes scripting, you can actually affect how the application behaves. So what the Winamp scripts do is they actually go out and turn those controls on so that they're tabbable, and so the user can actually get to them and actually see the content that's contained in them. So that's just one thing that we're able to do with scripting, at least I was able to do anyway. So let's see, Aaron, why don't we pass it over to you, and we'll talk about Script Central, and then we'll open up the phone lines.
Well, one of the things that we talked about when we first decided to come out with Windowize scripting was, how are we going to get scripts to people? How are we going to create an environment that encourages script development and things like that? And we realized in the other scripting features available out there in the market, there's not really a central place where people can come together and discuss scripts, talk about developing scripts, talk about using scripts, or any of that. So we came up with Script Central. It is my baby. I'm very proud of it. So it's a place where you can script developers can sign up, and they can host their scripts on Script Central. But more than that, people who aren't script developers but are script users can sign up. And they can rate scripts, they can comment on scripts, they can add scripts to their favorites list, they can do all kinds of things. And having available in one central location, I really think will help new users be able to access all the scripts that are available. And like I said, give script developers a place where they can ensure that their scripts will be available all the time. And one of the things in the toolkit, as Doug mentioned, is the ability to check for updates. And that whole update feature, excuse me, is designed around Script Central. So if you look at pick any script, I'm looking at Jamal's Activate window right now. It has an XML link, an XML feed link, so you can subscribe scripts to your favorite RSS reader, things like that, and be notified when updates are available. You can choose to have an email sent to you when a script gets updated. And like I said, the toolkit also provides the ability to check for script updates. So a script can say, I want to use the toolkit's method of checking to see if there's an update every time I start, or manually, or once every week, or something like that. So all of that is designed around one central location, and that is Script Central. And the other cool thing that we did with Script Central is, when a script gets created, it also automatically creates a forum on our forum site. So every script in Script Central has a discussion forum where people can go and discuss details about the script. They can ask questions. They can get support from the script author and things like that. It basically gives the script author a place where they can nurture their scripts and give feedback and things like that. And the forums also have general discussion areas where you can post questions about scripting. There's an announcement forum where script developers can announce new scripts. There's a script request forum where script users can come in and say, hey, I've got this application. It's really great. I wish I could do this with it. They can post those kinds of things, and script developers can look through that and say, yeah, I can do this, and create scripts that way. There are forums specifically for VBScript. There's a forum specifically for JScript. Of course, there are many other languages you can use, and if someone needs a forum for another language, we'll certainly add that, but those are some of the ones that are there now. So I think all of this combined really just creates a nice community for people who are creating scripts and people who are using scripts to come together and really make the best of Windowize scripting. I think that's really important. I think that's lacking from the other technology in the market that has scripting features. I really think this is going to make a big difference.
Well, people in the community who have been beta testing, specifically Jamal, and we'll talk with him in just a few minutes about it, but have actually taken some of the features of Script Central and actually provided a UI for it to be able to gain access to scripts to install. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. We're going to now go ahead and open up the phone lines. The number is 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. If you'd like to call in, the phone lines are now open. And we've had a couple of questions come in via email on the main menu at acbradio.org email address. Daryl, do you have those?
Well, I have a couple of MSN questions, actually.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. Mike says, hey, I'm noticing that in some contexts the new ECI Eloquence implementation is a bit sluggish in Outlook, for instance. Have you noticed this, and is there any way to address it, or is that an Eloquence issue that that's we're going to have to live with.
We're still getting some feedback on the new 6.1. I mean, it is very new. We've probably added it in the last, I don't know, three weeks or 4 weeks ago. We added it for the very first time, so we're starting to get some feedback on what's going on to that. So if there are some ways that we can try to optimize it, we'll certainly try to do that. I know we're limited by what, you know, what we're given with Eloquence and some of the problems and things that we've had to work around in the past. But, you know, some people are using it with absolutely no problem. We're seeing other people have some issues. We're not sure if it's sound card drivers related, if it's the implementation. So we're still kind of sitting back, which is partly why we wanted to get some more feedback from more users. We have about approximately 60 private beta testers in our group that have been working great with us, but that's just a drop in the bucket, and that's why we want to get more feedback out there, and I'm sure if there's an issue, we'll resolve it.
Okay, Daryl, do you have any more questions from MSN?
Well,
if not, we do have a caller.
Yeah, let's bring the caller in, I would say, at this point.
All right. Mike Capel is here. Hello, Mike, and welcome to Main Menu Live, sir. How can we help you tonight?
Good evening. Yeah, wonderful beta. Installed it this afternoon. Very pleased with it. I want to say I definitely love the Control Windows I command, which brings up this script central, and you can update scripts. I love it. But a question for either Doug or Aaron or one of the private beta testers. Just out of curiosity, the weather script, which is the which is Control Insert W. I'm just curious, where do you get the weather information from? Because that is slick. I love being able to just press hockey and get my temperature in the city and state I live in, and I'll hang up now. Good job, folks.
Okay, thanks, Mike. And let's see, Aaron, why don't we let you take the weather or not script question first?
I would love to. That information comes from the weatherunderground.com. It's just pulled directly from there and parsed and spit out, either spoken or popped up in a dialogue depending on which hotkey you hit. And that was a really fun script to write. It kind of overshadows the important stuff that Windows scripting can do for applications. You know, we have a lot of cool things you can do, like the progress bar script. A lot of people want that, but it doesn't enhance an application. Whether or not it doesn't enhance an application, there are a lot of our scripts that don't enhance applications, but it really, I guess it shows you the power that you have without dealing with applications, but there is a lot in Windows scripting that will help applications speak better too. But yes, that gets the information from the weatherunderground.com.
That's also a good example of a complex dialogue that he popped up, because it offers many options and things like that, and it's user's option dialogue that comes up. Pretty complicated dialogue because it asks lots of information and things like that. And also it shows the power of where you can go off and get a web page and parse it, and basically that's what Jamal did with his script, which he'll be talking about as well. So there's lots of cool stuff in that script.
Absolutely. Corey Knapp, who actually we had a question from him earlier that we answered, but he's here live with us on the phone. Hello, Corey. How can we help you tonight?
Good, hi. Great beta. I've been using it for, I guess, you know, a little while today, a couple hours. Had a question regarding the Braille support regarding the structured and line mode. I didn't see anywhere in the options. Was that in this beta or not in there yet, or for the Braille, you know, regarding a Braille display?
Okay, we'll let you listen to that off on the air, okay, Corey? Go ahead, Doug.
That was a heavy sigh for me, in case you didn't hear that. we had every intention of adding, in fact, that there is actually some of the code in Windows Eyes Beta 7 that we kind of blocked off so that you can't get to it, of line mode. There's about a list of six things that we wanted to be able to do to Braille, but unfortunately everything got pushed back. We had some developer problems, health problems, and things that unfortunately didn't allow us to get as much done as we originally had spec'd in 7.0. That's something that we going to be adding, and it will probably be something that we will, well, it will be something that we'll put as a top priority post 7.0. Right now, there's, as I said, you know, I always want to put the world in every version that we do, and reality sets in and we realize we can't do that. This is one thing that got kind of pushed out. As a matter of fact, the Braille object for scripting right now is probably 60% done in beta 1. You can do some things through scripting with Braille, but not everything we want. We're going to finalize all of that before 7.0 comes out for sure. That will definitely make 7.0, but some of these other external scripting features of Braille won't be there, but it is a high priority for us to put in post 7.0.
All right. Thank you, Doug. And
hey, and
Bruce has a Braille-related question as well.
Okay, why don't we go ahead and ask that, Daryl, then we have Mike ready to ask a question.
Okay. Bruce would like to know which Braille tables, translation tables, are used for English, and if other languages are supported, what tables are available there?
There are several tables that are available. If you go to the translation table of WindowEyes, you go to the Braille menu, go to translation tables, there's a combo box that lists all the languages, and there's quite a few of them. A lot of European languages are in there. Most of them are in there. And you can pick between the 6 and 8 dot tables, and then you can see how they're defined. If you don't like how a particular table is defined, you also have a user-defined table that you can say, okay, I like the U.S. table that you've done, but there's just this one character that just drives me crazy. And you can actually take the U.S. table, copy it to a user table, and then tweak the individual ones that you want and be able to use that. You know, those are the patterns that WindowEyes will use for those characters.
Great. Okay. All right. Mike, you have a question tonight for us. Go right ahead, sir.
Yes. Hello to Doug and Aaron and everybody. I have not gotten the beta yet. I'm not sure if I'm going to do that or just wait until... The 7.0 is officially released, but rest assured, either way, I will be upgrading to 7. WindowEyes is a great product. It is my favorite screen reader, and I always recommend it. The question I have is, I'm wondering if this can be scripted, or what, if you know at least what this might be, or if it's scriptable. There are a couple of programs that use this, and I know Java currently doesn't work, but I don't think this is Java-based, because... I don't have the Java runtime on my system either, but these programs still launch. But the two programs that come to mind that use this are SiteSpeed and the Perfect Disk Defragmenter. And I think they have keyboard support, because WindowEyes will say, you know, menu close and stuff. And by the way, no screen reader is able to read this. I've tried it with all of the major ones, and you can't even read the screen with the mouse. But it just says custom control when you tab, and then when you do the insert R command to reclass it, the only, I can't remember exactly what the class name is, but the title for every single control is QWidget. And I'm just wondering if anyone knows what type of control is that. Is it Java-based? But whatever it is, these two applications elude all screen readers. I've tried it with WindowEyes, JAWS, HAL, System Access, all of them, and no screen reader can read either one of those applications. And on both of them, when you do the reclass control, and I've tried reclassing the controls on both of those to everything, and it just doesn't work. But the control title for everything is QWidget. And I'm just wondering, I'll go ahead and hang up, and maybe if any of you can take a stab at that. First of all, what is that? Does anyone know? And is it able to be scripted to somehow get those controls to speak?
Okay. All right. Let's see. Anyone want to take that? I'm not sure what type of controls they are. Aaron, you haven't had a chance to look at that application at all, have you?
I have not looked at that application specifically. I know I just popped onto Google real quick and did a search, and I see that it looks like their latest version uses something that's similar to the Microsoft Office 2007 Ribbon. Doesn't look exactly like it, so they're probably not using that control directly. But it certainly looks like there's plenty in this application that should speak just fine. In fact, I'm very surprised that nothing in the using the mouse speaks. So this is an application that we've never seen before, never taken a look at. So it's something that we'll just have to download and explore and see what we
can
do.
Figure it out. That's right. Okay,
yeah.
Good. Okay, well, let's...
I have a guess on that, Jeff. I'm not sure. But
sure, go ahead, Jamal.
There is a cross... This is just a guess, but there's a cross-platform GUI library called Qt, but it does not use native controls of the operating system, so that could be the problem.
And that probably is it. I've seen that as well with some other Qt-based apps, exactly same symptoms. So that's probably it.
Okay, good. Okay. Well, let's see. Let's go ahead now and let Aaron talk a little bit about some of the scripts that GW Micro has written, and then we'll pass it over to Jamal, who has been like a scripting crazy man. He's been writing scripts like a, you know, just, he's been going nuts. And so we want to give him an opportunity to talk about his scripts as well. And while you're talking about it, because we're going to pass it around to the other scripters too, and then we'll get to the people who have been beta testing but not necessarily scripting. When you talk about your scripts, talk about what you think of the scripting language from your perspective, and then we'll take it from there. So, Aaron, you want to kick things off?
I'd be happy to. I just pulled up Jamal's profile in Script Central and see that he's got 36 scripts when the GW Micro profile only shows 22.
Wow.
So he's definitely outperforming. The GW scripts that are up on Script Central, I'll just run through them real quick. Like I said, there's 22 of them. We start off with some very basic proof of concept scripts where we did something just to prove it could be done. Really didn't do a whole lot of refining, but it gives people a place to start if they want to download the script and play with it. I should point out before I even do that that the GW Micro script license that we use is the BSD license. It's an open source kind of license so that you're able to take any of the GW Micro scripts and take the content, modify that to however you want, use it however you want, distribute it however you want, just as long as you keep the license intact. So I think that will really help people as they're developing scripts. They want to use some of the stuff that we've already done, then they're freely able to do that. So add remove is the first script that we have up there. That is just a custom add remove dialog. It takes all of the applications on your system that are listed in the uninstall registry key, gives you access to them. The reason we did this is because under Windows XP, you can't type out the name of an application in the add remove program. You have to arrow through to find the one you want. And this is just shows you how you can create a custom dialog, get information from the operating system, stick it in that dialog, and have quick access to it. So if I wanted to jump to the WindowEyes entry, not that I'd ever want to remove WindowEyes, but if I wanted to jump there, I could just type WindowEyes or type WIN, and it would take me to that first item that starts with WIN. Just gives you a real accessible way to access those things. So that's just an example of how you can kind of, you know, tweak the operating system and make things that aren't quite as accessible a little bit more accessible. The next script we have is autocomplete. Autocomplete basically will tell you when the text inside of a couple edit box autocompletes. Like if you're typing a web address in Internet Explorer or Firefox, if I type if GW Micro is in my history and I type www.gw, it'll fill in the micro.com. So this script it gives you the option to read that. The other thing that we do is if you get a list box of suggestions, like if you're in the run dialog and you type in something and the suggestion list pops up, there's an option that reads the number of suggestions to you. That script is one that we ship automatically with the 7.0 Beta 1. We made a decision to ship a few of them that kind of show the power that you can do. So that's autocomplete. Copy key is the next one. That just copies the name of a hotkey to the clipboard. Basically, you run that script. It tells you to press a key. You press a key, and the name of that key is copied to the clipboard. So that's kind of a useful developer's tool. If you want to know the name of a key when you're trying to register a hotkey or something like that, that's a quick way to find out the name. Custom system restore is very similar to the add remove. It displays a system restore dialog so that you can get to all your restore points. You can create new restore points. I don't know if you can delete restore points. I know you have the ability to. I just don't know if I implemented that or not. But that's just another one that's kind of a proof of concept showing how you can take parts of the operating system that aren't as accessible and make them more accessible. Enhanced find is the next one we have. I thought it would be interesting to take the WindowEyes find dialog, which is pretty powerful in its own right, but instead of just searching for a string of text, I thought it would be interesting to allow it to search for using regular expressions, which is kind of an advanced method of searching for things. Still a few bugs in that script, but it kind of works fairly well if you're searching for text, searching in applications with lots of text. Of course, number six, the GW Toolkit. That's, as Doug mentioned, is just a collection of shared objects and tools that we provide for use with other scripts. The automatic updates, the standard help. So if you go into the script manager, select a script, and choose the help and options button, you can use the toolkit to always display your help in a consistent manner so that you can easily get to hotkeys that your script may have, things like that. So the toolkit basically provides a way to just have some consistency across scripts. Help context is the next script that actually needs updated to support the beta. It's not been updated yet, but what it does is it allows you to, with your cursor on any word in any edit box, you can hit a hotkey. I think it's Control F1, and and WindowEyes will go off and it will search through all of the topics inside the WindowEyes scripting manual that correspond to the word underneath your cursor. So it's a helpful developer's tool that lets you have access to details of the manual without actually having to open up the scripting manual. I mean, it will open it up once you select a topic, but it does the searching without having to open it up. Hotspot 1.1 is the next one. That just allows you to put the mouse pointer anywhere on the screen and hit a hotkey and define that point. You can save a list of points. You can access those points anytime by bringing up the list again. So this is kind of helpful if you have an application where getting to a certain point on the screen isn't always so easy. Using the find command isn't always so easy. You can put the mouse there, hit this hotkey to bring up the hotspot dialog, save the mouse position, and get back to it anytime you want. Hourly time is another one that's the ninth one on our list. Hourly time does just that, plays a tone on the hour. You can have it play a tone, you can have it speak the time in a synthesized voice. Another kind of proof of concept, really kind of just a trivial script. It plays the hourly time. That's not really all that useful, but at the same time, it's kind of fun and shows you the power that WindowEyes has in terms of creating timers that go off at a specific time and things like that. So another proof of concept, but still a fun script to play with. AMID, which stands for Immediate Mode Window. If you're familiar with using Visual Basic inside of Word or any kind of Office application, they have what's called an Immediate Mode Window where you can type commands and have them executed right away without having to create a script and then run that script. So this Immediate Window script is for WindowEyes scripting. So you can, I can bring up a meet and I can type speak blah and I'll hear blah. It basically gives you a way to access the inner workings of WindowEyes scripting immediately, right away, without having to write an entire script. It provides a really nice way to be able to debug some things and try some things without having to put a lot of work into it. Yeah, we use that script constantly for testing. iTunes, like I talked about earlier, just posted the iTunes script. That's very basic. We'll be working on that later on. LVNav, that's another one that shipped with 7.0 Beta 1. Basically, it lets you navigate a list view virtually, which is a really cool kind of thing. So you aren't just restricted to where the physical cursor moves you in a list view, but you can move around between the columns. It does all kinds of stuff. That's a very cool script to check out. Progress Indicator is another one that ships with 7.0 Beta 1. This was Doug's baby. He really did an excellent job of finding all the different progress bars that we possibly could and provides a lot of different options in getting them to speak automatically, whether you have the progress spoken through speech or whether you have some tones played, whether you have ascending tones played. We got marquee progress bars working. Those are the progress bars that don't really increase or decrease in value, but rather just bounce back and forth, so you can get an indication of those now. If you have multiple progress bars on the screen, you can hear different tones for those different progress bars and some things like that. So that's a very cool script. Record Macro, another proof of concept for a very basic, very simple keystroke recorder. Once you fire up Record Macro and start recording a macro, WindowEyes keeps track of all the different keys presses that you're hitting, and then you can play those back. And I know we had a couple of beta testers who really put that script to good use in their everyday things that they do at their job. They have repetitive tasks they do, and they were able to use that script to make those tasks easier. Second Glass, another one that's similar to Hourly Chime, and that it's not all that useful, but it's still kind of neat to play with. Second Glass basically plays a tone, repeats a tone every as long as the mouse pointer is an hourglass. So WindowEyes will announce when the mouse pointer turns into an hourglass, but it never says anything after that for the duration that the mouse pointer is an hourglass. So with this script installed, you'll actually hear a tone play every second or two that the mouse pointer is an hourglass, so that you know that the application is still doing something. The next one we have is Show All Scripts. Displays a list of all the scripts that you have installed. The next one we have is Skype, which Skype 1.7. I just posted that earlier today with a couple of bug fixes that should make it a little bit nicer to use. We did the majority of testing, as I mentioned earlier, with the version 3. It does seem to work with version 4, although that version is still undergoing a lot of beta testing. Virtual View is another one that ships with 7.0 Beta 1. This one was a really cool one to do. It actually provides you with a bit kind of like a text screenshot of how any given window is laid out. You can choose an active window, or you can get real detailed by choosing the focus window. But basically, you hit this hotkey. It brings up a text view of whatever window you're in, and then you can do some really cool things, like you can route the mouse to specific words, or you can, you know, if you bring up a virtual view of a dialogue that has buttons and you put the cursor on the text that represents one of those buttons, you can, I think it's hit the letter L to do a left click on the button, or R to do a right click, things like that. So it's a really cool way to virtually navigate Windows. Jeff mentioned earlier you being able to set up tab stops and things like that in a dialog that doesn't have them. This gives you another way to do that. There's an application called AutsDJ. I know it's very popular for doing audio stuff over radio and things like that. And it has an options dialog that has absolutely no keyboard support, where a keyboard support should be. And bringing a virtual view over that dialog and putting the text, or putting the cursor on the text of one of the buttons and being able to click on it, really lets you get around that application very quickly. So virtual view, I think, is a pretty cool script to play with. Visual Studio 2008, a couple of enhancements for Studio 2008. That script is very basic. We'll be doing some more with that too. The weather or not, we already talked about. That's up there as well. WeEvent is the WindowWise event monitor. This is another one of Doug's. It's a very cool utility that basically lets you monitor any kind of event that WindowWise can monitor through scripting. You can see in WeEvent. It's basically, if you're familiar with the MSA tool ACEvent, it's very similar to that. If you have no idea what that means, it basically just lets you watch all of the different things that happen. So whether a window gets focused, or whether a window gets blurred, or whether a particular MSAA event happens, or any number of things, you can watch all these events in one window. And it's really useful when you're checking out an application for the very first time. You launch WeEvent, you launch your application, you see what kinds of things happen, and then you can base your script, design your script based on what kind of events are happening and things like that.
Get the menu bar in EM Editor, which is a really powerful text editor to actually speak. So yeah, it's a great utility. Good job, Doug.
Definitely one of the utilities that we recommend. And finally, we have Window Manager. I just posted Window Manager this morning. Another kind of proof of concept script, but it basically lets you it remembers window positions. So say you want Notepad to always start maximized. You can add it to your list, specify that you want it maximized. Any time the Notepad runs, it will automatically maximize. The nice thing about this script is it also does MDI child windows. So, for example, if you're in Access, I know Pledger scripts or Pledger sets require you to have the child window maximized, and there's no way to do that automatically. But with this script, you can. You can launch Access, launch this script, find the MDI child window, say, I always want this window to be maximized, and every time the Access runs, it'll maximize that window. So that's another nice little utility. So those are our 22 scripts that we have up there right now. Of course, they're all still in development. They can all get updated tomorrow. Probably won't happen tomorrow, but that's the nice thing about scripting, is that we can update these without having to wait for a new version of WindowWise. So it's exciting stuff.
Hey, Aaron, before we pass the baton over to Jamal, who will be next, we have a caller who has a question related to Script Central and documentation, and since you're the king of documentation, we'll let you take this one, Aaron. And go ahead, Chris, what's your question?
Okay, Aaron, basically what I'm trying to determine is I'm curious to know if on the Script Central, is that where you would need to go to find documentation on the various WindowWise scripts? For example, the iTunes scripts. If I wanted to know, for example, press X key to do Y action, where would I need to go to find where that information would be located so that I can learn how to properly use the individual Z script?
The majority of time, we try to make sure that script help is included in the script itself. So when you install the script, you go into the script manager, you select the script you're interested in, and there's a help and options button. It's also Alt-H is the shortcut to get there. And in that dialog is where we include all the different hotkeys that you can use, all the different gotchas that you may need to be aware of. If there's any customization you need to do the application to get the scripts to work better, things like that, all that will be included in a constant place, and that's the help and options area of the script manager. So we try to be as consistent as possible. You don't have to do it that way, but that's why we created that, so that you could always get to a script's help very easily.
And how do you get to the scripting documentation? Is that going? I know it's in the product in the help menu, but is this something that you're also going to post on Script Central for people who want to download it before they actually install the beta?
Yeah, the script resources link on Script Central will be beefed up quite a bit. Right now, there are just some resources that get you started with VBScript, but we will have our documentation up there as well, and anything else that we can think of that will help people get started with scripting, we'll put up there.
Excellent, excellent. Okay. Well, thank you very, very much, Aaron, and I'm sure we'll hear back hear from you again tonight. But let's pass the baton over to Jamal. And Jamal, you have you've been pretty amazing in what scripting you've done, and we'd like to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about the highlights. You've actually written quite a few more scripts, so you might want to stick to maybe some of the highlight scripts, some of the premier scripts that you've written, and although there's plenty of those too. So why don't we pass it over to you?
I can certainly do that. Let me also just ask you, though, are there particular questions you want me to address?
No, not necessarily. I would like you to talk a little bit about, after you kind of describe your scripts a little bit, what you feel about the scripting language from, you obviously have been writing in numerous programming languages and other scripting languages as well, and would like to get your feedback on what you think of the scripting language from a programmer's perspective for those that are listening.
Sure. Well, I know my friends at GW Micro don't like to mention the competition by name, but I can, so I'll talk about some of the comparisons with JAWS,
okay.
Which I still use, and try to give you some comparisons as objectively as I can. I use, obviously, both screen readers. Understandably, JAWS, because it evolved over a number of years, it shows in the language. This happens with any language. And so there's tons of functions, but they often have different naming conventions or new styles of doing things evolved over the years. And it can be overwhelming. It's not an object oriented API, which has certainly become the trend now in programming, because of the way that it can help to organize things in a more intuitive way. So you don't just have a lot of methods, you have objects, and then those objects have members, which can be properties or methods or events. Some of the comparisons I can make are as follows. The VBScript language is a more powerful language and a more dynamic language than the JAWS scripting language. It has more data types. Of course, you don't have to use VBScript, has been explained, but since that has been the one that has been used for the most part so far and the one I've mainly used, I'll use that mainly for comparison. So, whereas JAWS has strings and integers, and to some extent I think there are undocumented variants, but there's no functions that operate on dates, for example, or on arrays, or on real numbers. And the fact that these other data types are available with VBScript just opens much more possibilities. It's so much more efficient to be able to, put things into an array regardless of the data type. And also, because VBScript has what's called an eval function, where it can at runtime evaluate code that's in a string, that also opens up a lot of possibilities. JAWS doesn't have that equivalent. JAWS cannot call functions recursively. VBScript can. The infrastructure that GW Micro has developed, I think, is as important as is the API, which is obviously also very important.
but it's just remarkable how they have developed this with community collaboration. With JAWS, I've been on the JAWS scripting list for years, and it's just commonplace that somebody will pose a question saying, are there scripts for this or that? And that's kind of the best they can do, or kind of random Google searches. There's no central repository. Even from the Freedom Scientific website, they have a few links of places you can go and look around. But the fact that there's one place, and as has been explained, you don't have to go to Script Central, but the advantages just make it compelling that this is where you would go when you first want to look for scripts. And if you're a developer, it really makes sense to have your scripts hosted here because of all the convenient features you get with it. So now there's one place you can go to find out if something has been scripted, and as opposed to with JAWS, the mailing lists for JAWS are not sponsored by Freedom Scientific itself. So they sometimes, I think, have people lurking, but you can't have any assurance that you would be able to interact with staff from the company. Whereas, you know, as we all know, that with GW Micro, you can do that. And I think it's just been remarkable for anybody interested in scripting to be able to dialogue directly with top-notch programmers like Doug and Aaron and Mike and Ron, and really have an influence on how the product developed. I know my programming skills have improved just from being in all of those discussions and learning things that I didn't know about how Windows works, et cetera, and about different APIs that can be used. So these are some of the advantages of windowized scripting. I will go over what I think are probably my most useful scripts for anybody who wants
to
get started.
Jamal, before we do that, we have a caller, and I'd like to get that person in first. So let's do that. Go ahead, Chris. You have a question for us. We'll let you listen on the air.
I do have a question. A couple, actually. With the scripting, I'm finding myself scripting a lot of .NET applications, and they've got a window message that will give me the control's name, and it'll spit it back as a string, or I can interact with the control as an object. I know there are some limitations on passing pointers around. WMGetName window message, for example, returns a string. Can I use that one, or can I get a Windows Forms controls object, I dispatch object, and interact with it that way? Does anyone know?
Okay, we'll let you listen on the air, okay?
Okay.
Okay, great. Okay, Doug, do you want to take this one?
I didn't catch all of the parts of that, but we do have the send message capability. You're absolutely right. You can't send pointers across process boundaries and things like that, so you can't do anything that requires a pointer or a pointer to structure, anything like that you can't do. But if it's just a simple send message with the WParm, LParm, and a simple return value, you can certainly do that. That's part of our scripting language. And I didn't catch the other part of that question.
Okay. I think in addition to that, he was also asking if you can get control information directly, and you can. The Windowize object model lets you access window controls directly, get their names, get their properties, all those types of things, get an HWIN, get a handle, all those types of things you can access directly. So I think you can do what he's wanting to do, sure.
What about .NET?
We give you a very rich interface into all of the controls, and we've got it well documented in there to show how you can talk to an edit box and get very rich information from the edit box, rich edit, list box, list view, whatever in there.
Okay, what about .NET controls, Doug, in reference to, you know, getting an iDispatch interface into them and being able to get at that type of, you know, control?
Depending on how that the you get to that iDispatch, if it's MSA-related, you can certainly get an iAccessible pointer into it and deal with those with it in that environment. I guess it just depends on the control itself.
Okay, great. Okay. All right, and Jamal, we'll pass it back over to you, and we do have a caller, but we'll take that here in just a couple of minutes.
Okay, I'll try to be efficient to let other people have a chance to talk. One other area I meant to mention is the dialogue support, custom dialogues, which are basically defined in an XML file, a plain text file,
and the blind scripter does not have to worry about specific control coordinates. Everything can be done with these the language, the XML language that GW Micro has defined, which really make it quite easy. JAWS has, I think, two built-in canned dialogues, a list box one and a single edit box one. I quickly ran into the limits of what I wanted to do with the dialogues and spent much time and energy trying to develop other tools that I could interface with my JAWS scripts so that I could have other kinds of dialogues. And those worked with varying degrees of success. But it's just wonderful to be able to design any kind of dialogue you want with your script. And the same API applies to controlling that dialogue as would be the case for another application you are scripting. So my most popular ones, I would say, are installed packages that somebody mentioned. I would encourage anybody wanting to check out packages to make that one of the first ones you install, because from then on, all you have to do is control Windows I, that's the default hotkey, and you will get a list of all of the ones available, and not only their names and version numbers, but another edit box that has all of the information that the scripter entered on the web page about the script. So you often get a significant amount of documentation with it. And you can choose different ways of filtering the list. So you can look at them all. You can look at new ones that you have never installed on your computer. You can look at ones that have been installed before, but for which there are now updates available on Script Central. Or you can combine those last two categories. You can also generate a text file that has the documentation of all scripts in the list combined into a single file. So that might be one way. If somebody really wants to get a sense of what's available now, just make sure that the all view is selected and then choose the button that is called Save Details, and it will create a text file with all of that in, and there's a table of contents at the beginning, and of course you can use whatever editor you prefer to search for things or browse around. Some other scripts, another one is called Script Menu, and that one is Alt-Shift-F10 by default. It creates a list of all of the scripted hotkey commands that are available globally. So any script that defines a hotkey, if you think you might have trouble remembering what they all are, which is certainly understandable, you can get them all in this single list and then just pick from that list and press enter, and it will execute that hotkey command. Another one is called Jump to Item, and that one applies in almost any kind of a list. So it could be a standard list box or a list view or a combo box. And the script tracks when focus is in one of those lists. And in that situation, it activates certain hotkeys. So you don't have to worry about these conflicting when you're not in that situation. They are only registered when that kind of a control has focused. And you can press Control J and it prompts for text, and you can type any string of characters and it will jump to the first item in the list that contains that text. It's case insensitive. And you can press Alt J and it'll jump to the next one. You can also press Control Windows J and it will copy the text of all items to the clipboard, one per line. Another one is called Select Text, and that one lets you, in almost any kind of edit control, conveniently select text without having to hold down the shift key as you arrow around. So you just press F8 at the beginning of the text you want to select. You move to the end of the text by any means, so it could be arrow keys, you could do a find command, it doesn't matter. And then you press Shift F8, and it selects all the text in between. And then you can do whatever you normally would do with selected text, like copy it to the clipboard or delete it or whatever. That works in standard edit boxes, rich edit boxes. So, for example, Notepad, WordPad, it works with rich edit boxes of the .NET framework. It also works in Microsoft Word. Trying to think of which ones to focus on. Another one is called Run at Cursor, Shift F5 by default. That one, if you're looking at some text, then it doesn't matter what kind of a control you're in, really, as long as there's a cursor you can move around. And you press that command, it will let you execute it as if it was a URL. So if the cursor's like on an email address, it will initiate an email message to that person. If it's a URL, it'll open the web browser to that. And it does some intelligent things. So if somebody, you're reading an email message and somebody has put a URL on the line, but there, it's like the last, it's the end of the sentence, so there's a period after it. I bet you've experienced this before where you try to launch it and it doesn't go there and you get, what's the matter here? And then you realize, oh, there was a period at the end, so it's right. Not a valid URL. Well, this will strip that kind of extraneous punctuation, and it gives you a chance to edit whatever that path is before you actually launch it, so you can make sure that that's the URL you want to execute.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah, I'll stop there.
Okay. All right. We have a caller, and then we
I've
have...
definitely been...
You've been busy.
I'm sorry, go on.
Yeah, you've been very, very busy. And
I've been obsessed, compulsive. Those are some of my traits, for better or worse.
No, that's great. I want to get back to your learning scripting package that's available, too, in just a minute. So hang on to that, and we'll come back to you, Jamal. Let's see. We have a caller, and then Daryl has some questions from MSN. And, Ben, you had a question about... a Unicode type question. So go ahead and take it away.
Okay.
We'll let you listen on the air, okay?
It's going to be a little hard to do it, by the way, just what's on air, but let me see what I can do. Okay. I do a lot of work, for example, with the Korean language, okay? And I have the Windows keyboard IME, input method editor, for Korean. But the thing is, would WindowEyes allow me to use that IME and have speech input in Korean from that IME?
Okay, great. Good question. And let's see. Doug, do you want to take this one, or maybe Aaron? I'm not sure.
Sure. No, I'll take this one. This actually, it's a very good question, and that's something that I forgot to mention as one of the new features that we added in Beta 7, is that if you do switch keyboard layouts, WindowEyes 7.0 will now speak that new language to you automatically as you switch. That includes the Korean language. That includes switching within the IME of the Korean language. Even though you switch to Korean, you may be typing in English, you may be typing in Chinese, you may be typing in Korean. As you switch between those three, even though you've switched to the Korean language, we will speak that to you. Part of the thing with the Korean language also is that as you're typing, it may take several keystrokes to make one single character. WindowEyes will speak those keystrokes to you and speak that new composed window of the composition window that comes up to create that final character. WindowEyes will speak that for you. So I think you'll be very impressed with how WindowEyes 7.0 will speak as you're typing in Korean.
Excellent, excellent.
We get to work directly with HIMSS, the providers of the Braille Sense and the Voice Sense, things like that. We work directly with them. Of course, they are Korean, so it was very nice to have that direct interaction with them so they could help us to do all that stuff for WindowEyes and Unicode.
Great. Okay, Daryl, you had some questions from MSN.
I did. Gary wants to know if there are plans to create any scripts for applications in the small business world and personal finance world, like Quicken or Microsoft Money or QuickBooks, TurboTax, Peachtree Accounting, and so on and so forth.
I'd say there are plans to create scripts for everything, the time and resources permitting. We've taken a look at QuickBooks 2008, and wow, I'd like to find a QuickBooks developer and beat them senseless, because the application is just hideous. And the way that they do things, they really go out of their way to make things not just inaccessible, but just difficult to use, even for a sighted person trying to get around that application. That can be very confusing. So it takes a lot of work to get even the initial, just the setup dialogues to speak well. You can do it. We have done it, but it takes a lot of work. So that's something that we definitely want to provide access to, time willing. But so a lot of these applications, I think people are going to be able to spend some time themselves really making, not necessarily an end user making Quick and accessible, but a script developer saying, okay, I'm going to tackle Quick and I'm going to make it my lifelong project to make this application work, and they'll be able to do that. So the technology is definitely there to make the applications accessible. It's just time and resources, really.
Oh, great. So if somebody needs QuickBooks for their job, they can get Rehab to write scripts for them, and then get a Rehab person, and then they can if they do it right, they can put them in the community.
There you go.
Okay, and I wanted to ask a quick question, sort of follow-on application-related question. Windows Live Mail, have any of you guys tackled that? I mean, I know it sort of works, but it's kind of the replacement for Outlook Express on Vista, and I was just wondering, certainly it doesn't work as cleanly as Outlook Express does now.
It doesn't work as cleanly, even without looking at the accessibility aspect. They've done a lot of things that, in my opinion, were big steps backwards. Of course, Windows Vista came out with Windows Mail, and then Windows Live Mail came out, and so there's like, and then they have Outlook Express, so there's three different versions that all do practically the same thing. But Windows Live Mail does some quirky things that make using it difficult. I mean, it's definitely usable. You can still use it with WindowEyes. There are just some. There's just some caveats that you have to be aware of. I don't remember all of them off the top of my head, but I mean, with scripting, sure, you could make it behave a little nicer.
Hey, Aaron, while we have you, do you know, is WindowEyes 7, Chris had a question, and actually it was a two-part thing, and he didn't get it on the air from the phone, but he wanted to know about IE8 beta, whether WindowEyes supports that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's we're working with it currently, so yes, if you have access to it, by all means.
Okay, good.
Are there any strange caveats that you can think of that why somebody might not want to do that? Other than just the fact that it's beta?
Of IE8?
IE8.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. It's still in beta, so they're still doing some special things. I can't think of anything specific that that would keep you from using it, except that most people don't have access to it. So.
Okay. All right, so do we want to ask another MSN question?
Yeah, go ahead, Daryl. Let's knock through those, and then I want to give the rest of our panel an opportunity to talk about the user experience from a lot of the scripts that are out there and talk about some of their favorites.
Okay, so Nicholas asks, how has command line support been improved in WindowEyes 7? Has its responsiveness been improved with utility applications such as Cygwin?
I don't know that we've done a whole lot of testing. I know pretty much all of us here in the office who do technical things use a command prompt on a daily basis. I know Mike and Raul do as well, who, of course, WindowEyes users. So I don't know of any problems that we've addressed specifically, but I don't know that we've been made aware of many problems that we need to address specifically. So maybe compiling up a list of those issues that you're having and sending them off to support would be a good thing.
Wonderful. And Bill asks, what if somebody wants to improve an existing set of scripts? Is this easily done?
And, wow, what a loaded question.
Wow. I think it's easily done depending on whether the script author encrypted their scripts or not and also gave you permission to modify their scripts. It's really up to the script author. Like I said, the GW Micro scripts, the license that we use means that you have full access to the to the source of those scripts. Someone else who spent a lot of time and energy making something accessible may decide that they're going to keep those trade secrets to themselves and encrypt their scripts. And or even if they do provide the source, they may provide some sort of license that says that you're not allowed to reuse it. So it's really up to the script author as to whether or not you're able to modify existing scripts. But at least with the GW Micro ones, by all means, modify till you can't stand
it. Well, I think it's an instructional slash technical question. One could take the existing scripts and use a package manager, right, to add additional files.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, once you install a script, you have all the files contained in that package, so you have complete access to the to the code, to the script file, to any XML if they included it, you know, all the types of files that they include. And then once you've modified that, you're certainly able to, again, with the script author's permission, you're able to create your own package and do what you want with it, sure.
Okay, and then we have one more, which I think is going to be covered before the show is over. Bruce wants to know, hey, if I have little or no programming experience, what kind of resources are available for me to get started? Is there a scripting 101 course going to be made available, and so on and so forth?
I know that we're certainly going to do what we can to come up with tutorials and things for people. We're still in the process of teaching our own training department about scripting and what they need to do to get up and running. I know that Jamal recently released a tutorial script up on Script Central that does a really good job of getting people started, and I think there are some other resources that are being developed to help newbies.
Coming in the next few weeks, we're going to be starting a series here on Main Menu all about scripting. And so stay tuned for that as well. We have a caller. John is using Take Command, a JP software product, and he's running into a technical issue with it, and he's wondering if scripting could resolve the problem. John, let's go ahead and let you ask your question, and then we'll let you listen on the air. All right, sir?
Okay, sure. What I would like to know about is whether in Take Command, the cursor is in the wrong place. If you backspace, it's one to the left, and there are these funny problems, and I wasn't sure whether, I've been looking at the scripting documentation and so forth, and I wasn't sure whether scripting would help fix that.
Which version are you talking about, John?
Well, it happens in 8, and I have 5 or 6 on my system, but it doesn't seem to make a difference.
Okay, version 9 is out. Have you tried it with Take Command 9?
No, I didn't know there was a 9.
Okay,
gosh.
You want to do that first because I can't even talk tonight. Obviously, it undergone a tremendous change. So you might want to give
it
a shot. Okay, good. We'll let you listen on the air, and let's see. Aaron, do you want to take this? I don't know if you guys have seen this. I personally have not.
I know Mike spends about 80% of his day in Take Command, so I know if there were problems, I would have heard about it by now. So I think using the latest version is going to be the way to go.
Right,
I also know from some private experience that John has a lot of gremlins on his machine. So if getting the latest version doesn't solve the problem, then we may need to look deeper. But as far as I know, everything works fine.
Okay, good. Well, in the time
I know Jeff keeps trying to get me to try out Take Command, so.
I know he won't do it, but that's all right. That's fine.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, eventually.
Eventually, you know. It's anyway. Okay. In the time that we have left, I want to give an opportunity to have the other participants on our panel tonight talk a little bit about the scripts that they've been using and some of the user experiences. What I'd like you guys to do, we have about if I can hit the right keys here, we have about 13
minutes.
Yeah, about 12.
About 13, yeah.
Yeah, about 13 minutes. So what I would like you guys to do is kind of be brief because of just the amount of time, but I'd like you to pick maybe one or two scripts that you find really, really useful and kind of talk about some of the features of those scripts and then give your overall impression of WindowEyes 7. So let's see. Let's start with Robert.
All right. I will say that really it's been so interesting being a beta tester during the scripting development process because it's literally been like being a kid in a candy store. Every 5 minutes, there's been a new script, it almost seems like. Many days there have been 2 or 3 new scripts put up that do different things, like people described. And so it's almost the first thing I would say is that I was very pleasantly surprised, and Jamal has helped a lot with this with his package install script, how easy it is to check and see what's available, install it literally with a couple of keystrokes, and then try it out. And right on the actual when you're in the GW script manager, you can almost always tab over to a help button or press Alt H and immediately find out what the hotkeys are for the script. And within 2 minutes, you know, if you install the weather or not script, you can set it up and find out what the temperature and the wind speed and anything else you want to know about the weather. Well, not anything you want to know, but many the popular things you want to know about the weather in your community. And that's just one example. So I won't take any more time except to say that nobody should be afraid of being a user of scripts, because they're very easy to install, easy to learn about, easy to figure out, easy to use, and easy to get information on. So it's really cool.
Okay, great. Okay, Rick, why don't you take it next?
Okay. I'd say probably at the top of my list are the Winamp scripts. I just love
those to death.
I mean, they just make Winamp sing and dance. I love my favorite feature for the Winamp scripts are the time bookmarks, because I do a lot of reading of audiobooks, so it's a perfect fit there. And I love they're also called bookmarks. I kind of think of them as presets, where you can set up, you know, a bunch of presets and just hit a 1 or a control 1 or whatever, or control 3 or 3. It'll bring you to whatever you marked as a bookmark, or like a playlist or something. I'd say probably my second favorite script right now is probably install packages, which makes it so very easy. My other one is the progress indicator, which I just love getting some feedback on those progress bars. And another one, which was actually a very simple script but tremendously useful, is Jamal's toggle punctuation script, which just you know, one quick keystroke, you're from no punctuation to all punctuation. Is great for proofreading. And there's a ton more, so I'll shut up and let everybody else talk.
Yeah. Now the Winamp scripts, if you're familiar with the JAWS scripts, I believe, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm perfectly happy to accept that, but I believe that every feature of the Winamp scripts for JAWS is included in the WindowEye scripts, and many, 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 many more. There's 113 keystrokes available from the main Winamp window alone. So, and 87 or so in the playlist, and oh god, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And
okay. Can I make one more comment?
Sure.
That actually I don't think anybody's mentioned yet, because it's, you know, you think, well, the one thing about all of these scripts, if they're properly written, is that every single hotkey is user definable, which I don't think has been mentioned yet, I think that's one of the coolest things, is you can just take a script you know, if you don't like the hotkeys, they don't suit you, you just change them any way you want.
That's right, yeah, exactly. And the Winamp scripts even allow you to change the spoken messages, and it's all configurable. So if we want to be able to translate a script into another language, for example, then it's very, 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 very easy to do that. There are no hard-coded messages you can make your script so that there are no hard-coded messages whatsoever. So, okay, let's see. Chris?
Yes. I actually, one of my favorite ones is the progress indicator, and I turn the percentage off and just have the ascending tones play. And I also like the alternate menu, which brings up an alphabetical list of the menus in the application. I think WindowEye has 177 items in its menu bars, and I find that pretty handy to just jump up and down the menu system and hit enter, and it executes it.
Yeah, and Chris, we'll be quizzing you on those 177 tomorrow. So be ready for that, buddy. I'm just kidding. Okay, now, Steve, you've done some scripting, too, and I'm sorry that we haven't gotten to you sooner. You've actually come up with some really innovative things, especially for those people who insist on writing these really nasty words for eloquence. And why don't we pass it over to you to talk a little bit about your scripts and also your favorites. And just to give you a heads up, we got about 7 minutes left. So take it away, Steve.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jeff. I won't take too long here because I know we're running out of time. I have written a few scripts, which are available up on Script Central. Definitely not nearly the amount or quantity of Jeff or Jamal or the folks at GW. But one script I did write, because Nuance is pretty much abandoned development for eloquence, at least that's what we've heard from multiple sources. There are some words, which I'm sure most of you many listeners are aware of, that will kill eloquence. And since Nuance isn't going to do anything about it, I thought that I would. So I wrote a script called Eloquence Fix, which you can get today if you're running the Windowize beta. And it intercepts every single word that goes to the synthesizer. And if one of those words is these kill phrases, if you will, it will change it into something that won't crash eloquence, and then the synthesizer will speak it. So there's no way to make the synth blow up. Now, you know, there's always the possibility that there's a word still out there that hasn't been discovered and someone else could put it out there, but that's the beauty of implementing this as a script, is once the new word is found out, you just add it, update the script, and you're good to go. Another one that I wrote was actually in response to a challenge from Aaron back in February, and I gotta say, he's been very patient because I had a lot of questions. It's a voice rotor, which allows you to set up a list of frequently used synthesizers or SAPI engines, doesn't matter which, and you can very quickly rotate between, you know, either going forward or backwards among them. So, you know, I use speech all day, and frankly, I get tired of hearing the same voice in my ear after too long, so it's great to be able to just hit a key, boom, I'm at another synthesizer. And finally, I wrote one as a really just a proof of concept, because everything's been written in VBScript. I wanted to see what could be done with Python. So I just wrote a simple script. This was before the GW toolkit actually came out, that will go online, check the active Windowize version on the GW Micro site, and if what you're using is different from what the web page says, then it'll tell you so, and you can go and check out the GW web page for more information. And that actually requires active Python to be installed before you run it, otherwise it won't do anything. But those scripts aside, this has been amazing to watch Windowize 7 develop. I was brought on board about a year ago, and it's been remarkable, not only to see how the scripting language has come about and these other features have been written, but just, you know, the amount of support, the amount of learning that we got to enjoy as beta testers, and it's been amazing, especially like with Dremel's installed packages script, especially that's been extremely useful. The toggle punctuation script, because I do a lot of coding and proofreading, that's been handy. Jeff's Winamp scripts are just hands down one of my favorites. And there's just so many more. It's honestly hard to differentiate now between what's a script and what isn't, because I've gotten so used to them and they work so well. And actually, one other thing I did want to mention is, I don't think this has been brought up yet, you can actually associate multiple scripts for an application. So if someone, say you want to add something to the Winamp scripts, but you don't want to go and edit Jeff's, well, you can write your own file and just add that to the Winamp application, and then both scripts are run at the same time.
Oh, no,
which
that
I think
would
is really cool.
Oh, nothing, no, that would get interesting.
No other assistive tech will do that.
No, they won't. And the idea of the global scripts as well is a pretty innovative solution as well, as opposed to
Absolutely. Having
one basically global script, as Jamal was talking about JAWS scripts. Someone emailed us and said, talk about some of the differences, and that's a big one. Being able to have multiple global scripts and not being able to worry about having to modify, you know, a default script or something like that. So, well, Steve, thank you very, very much. And I think we got everybody, right?
We have.
Okay, good. Okay.
I'd like to make a quick a parting comment.
Go ahead, Daryl, and we want to give GW Micro at least a couple minutes to give some contact information and all that kind of stuff. So go right ahead.
Absolutely. Well, I'd just like to say that I'm sure that there's some questions out there we've not had a chance to answer. Please, everyone, go to gwmicro.com and join the GW-info mailing list and the GW-scripting mailing list as appropriate. To get more answers and to chat about WindowEyes, go to Script Central. These are up on Twitter, but it's gwmicro.com/sc. I've been using WindowEyes 7 public beta since it came out this morning. Used it all day on my day job. Hey, very, very good so far. And now I just want to get a chance to do some actual fun with the scripts, which I haven't been able to do yet. So
He hasn't even tried the Winamp scripts. I nearly beat him up.
I was working!
Yeah. You could have taken 5 minutes. Anyway. Okay. Well, let's pass it on over to Doug and let him give any closing comments that he would like. And this has been a lot of fun. I want to thank everybody here tonight. It's been fantastic, and the quality of Skype tonight has been tremendous. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, first of all, I appreciate the opportunity again tonight, and it's kind of been fun to sit back and listen to everybody else kind of talk a little bit about it. I was actually looking forward to hearing the comments of everybody, the script authors and the non-script authors, just kind of talking about what they like and don't like about it. Nobody asked me what my favorite script is, and as much as Aaron may not like this, I have to say Jamal's Install script. That is my number one script that I use all the time. I'm constantly uninstalling WindowEyes and reinstalling, and it just makes it so much easier to put those packages on there. So I really have to give kudos to Jamal for all the hard work that he's done, and as much as I hate to say it too, he's pushed our buttons in many places, but we got a better product for it. So I do appreciate him really pushing the envelope on us all the time and making us look ways we didn't want to look necessarily. And of course everybody else there that as well, that the script author, Steve, I appreciate your scripts that you've written. And of course, Jeff, I'm sorry I'm not a Winamp user, but I know the effort that you put in those scripts, and it's phenomenal what you've got in those things. And just the entire beta team, it's just been so fun working with everybody and seeing these scripts. And of course, Aaron's just ripping the scripts out as well. So it's a great team. It's very exciting now. It's amazing how the days at work just fly by, because we're just all so excited on what we're doing now and all the scripting. So we've really been pushing to get this out. We're bouncing off the walls now that it's actually in the public hands. We're not done yet. We've still got some things we want to clean up, but we do want to get it out there, get some feedback. I'm really looking forward to finding other people out there, some script authors, some script users, getting their feedback and things like that. And again, just helping us go in the direction we need to go, keeping that stability along as we go on, because that's our trademark. We want to make sure we keep that no matter what functionality we add. But I think we're going there, and we're darned excited about it.
Great, Doug. And you want to give us some ways to get a hold of you over at GW Micro?
Sure. Of course, you can always go to our webpage. So it's gwmicro.com. And if you want to go right to the beta page, it's just gwmicro.com/beta. And Aaron, I think we've got gwmicro.com/scripting also, which has some resources and things to be able to get you to the reference guide to VBScript and JScript and some other scripting techniques and things like that documentation. That page will be growing tremendously over the time. And then, of course, you've got Script Central, which is gwmicro.com/sc, shortcut for Script Central. And you can certainly give us a call at 260-489-3671. All these ways you can certainly contact us, or support@gwmicro.com, and send us an email there if you've got some questions, or sales@gwmicro.com if you're just ready to place that order. And again, I don't think we've talked too much about this, but we are charging $175 for this upgrade if you are a current 6.1 user. It definitely behooves you to get an SMA and use that one hit for an SMA to that upgrade. SMAs are basically $300 for three hits. And as long as you get that SMA before we go final with 7.0, then you'll be able to use the SMA. Otherwise, you'll need to upgrade to 7.0 and then get the SMA. So that's definitely something you may want to consider now if you want. But definitely get the beta, run it on your machine, and play with it. We want some feedback.
All right. Well, thanks, Doug. Thanks, everybody. We appreciate it. We're just about out of time. Next week, it's all about the icon, everybody. Come and listen up. Good night, everybody. Again, thank you, and we'll see you next week on another brand new edition of Main Menu and Main Menu Live.
If you would like to contact the Main Menu production team or panel of experts heard this evening on Main Menu Live, then simply send an email to mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. If you have suggestions for topics or you have questions that you would like to have addressed on a future edition of Main Menu Live, then email us and we'll do what we can to answer them or cover your suggested topics on a future Main Menu Live. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week on ACB Radio Mainstream for another Main Menu Live.